Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome in on this Friday edition of Morning Invest, your only show, your only news show that's not bought and sold by mainstream media and billionaires. And we do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. So thanks for joining us here and subscribing to the channel. Coming up on today's show, Netflix goes woke, gives a handout to its employees on how to handle the whole Dave Chappelle situation when you're hiring new employees. We'll dive into that.
And the Supreme Court is hearing arguments today about the Biden administration's vaccine mandates. We may not get a ruling, but we may get some information that does have bearing on whether or not that's legal. So we're watching that closely.
So we're getting scraps is what you're telling us.
No, we'll get something. We will get something. We'll discuss what that means.
And, you know, because we don't have enough military bases around the world, we only have, I think, was it 750? Right now,
something like that.
And we're in 80 different countries. The U.S. military has just announced they're opening a brand new military base. We'll tell you what country is lucky enough to have the U.S. military in its presence. All of that and more as we get uncomfortable on this Friday. Plus, we have your pet photos, which we do every Friday here on the show. Let's roll the intro, Hal.
It's Friday, guys. I brought a double strand of pearls. I'm ready for some news. I'm excited to be back. Thank you, Clayton, for taking over the show yesterday, and David for stepping up.
That's right.
I appreciate it. I'm glad to be back.
And we've got a daily newsletter. Monday through Friday, we publish our newsletter, which you can get in your inbox by going to morninginvest.com. It's totally free. Hey, we had 50 people sign up yesterday for the newsletter.
Oh, that's exciting. I hope you enjoyed it today.
Yeah, you get it in your inbox around 6:30, 7 a.m. in the morning, something like that. You can read it over your cup of coffee. I'm drinking a nice iced coffee this morning with a little oat milk in it. And you can read it in about 5 to 10 minutes. We bring you up to speed on the stories that are most important in the world, we feel like, and we provide a little bit of humor in it, and it's totally free. So go to morninginvest.com, sign up. You'll get a welcome email from me. I'm Clayton. And then just hit me back. Let me know that you received the welcome email. And if you missed it today, we'll be back on Monday with a Monday through Friday.
Oh, but you'll want to catch up today. We show you a huge carving of butter.
Yes.
the biggest 1,000 pounds of butter that's made in a sculpture of a harvest scene.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
So all of that and more. Plus, how you can become a channel member. Do you want to tell people how they can become a channel member here?
Yes, I do. Look at the link at the bottom, just right there. It says morninginvest.com/join. Uh-huh. Type that in. Do that. It costs $1.99 a month, and we get to see your wonderful comments and commentary and contribution to the show in the chat, plus other benefits. So thank you so much.
Delois in our chat says, Natalie, looking very pretty today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So I actually, when I was doing the trending show today, I was writing the piece about Audrey Hepburn, which we're going to get to later, and I was like, I want to pull my hair back like that.
That's what... You know what's funny? Natalie and I
was influenced by the, I was doing all this like reading about Audrey Hepburn, and that's why I look like this.
Miles, Miles, who's my 11-year-old son, Natalie and I were watching, I don't know, we were watching Hawkeye or something the other night, the three of us, and we would never notice this. Men, we probably don't ever pay attention to the hair, you know? And so we're watching it, and she's like, wow, she has, her hair looks hella cute.
Like, I'm so Californian,
Every 5 seconds.
It was specifically she's not new, I guess, the Black Widow, the woman who plays Helena. And she has like these cute braids back into a ponytail. And I was like, that hairstyle's hella cute. Miles and Clayton are like, what?
What are you even talking about? We didn't even notice the hair. We noticed her kicking the guy's butt. All right, anyway.
I love the Black Widow braids into a ponytail. It's so cute. I love it. I love it. So yeah. I've got a tiny braid.
Today. Welcome to the hair show.
Okay.
Hey,
read the news.
If you missed the pre-show, we talked all about my vasectomy. So this is a great show for you today.
I was going to say, I just subscribed to the Wiener and Semen podcast that's brought to you by Blue Chew.
All right. Yeah. We're fooling around a lot today. It's just one of those days.
All right. Let's get to it. Before we get to, we're going to deep dive some big stories today. But first, let's get to your news headlines this morning. And perhaps the biggest no-duh moment of the week, President Biden finally acknowledging that we cannot beat COVID and it's going to be here for the rest of our lives. Haven't we been saying this here on the show for a while? I guess the White House is just finally paying attention to what we have to say. Yeah. I mean, what year is it? I mean, if you go back to 2020.
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful in 2020.
Exactly, Joe. It's 2022. The Biden administration has now shifted its message away from, quote, let's end the pandemic to, quote, let's learn to live with it. Otherwise, we might all wait for an end that will never actually come.
Now, those are not direct quotes, just
I know,
by the
but
way.
Those are those
that's
are your
just
quotes.
Our paraphrasing.
That's our paraphrasing. But here is a reminder that the virus that was responsible for the plague still exists in our world, right? It's still here. We can still get the bubonic plague. You're not going to out-vaccinate the bubonic plague. COVID-19 may linger in our society for decades, and we certainly can't live like this for decades. So what do we do? Well, experts say that they are asking the administration to set new thresholds for local levels of hospitalizations for deaths. For instance, if hospitals are 80% full, then certain restrictions should take place. But if not, the administration has to set no such thresholds in the United States. Kind of like a chicken without an egg, chicken without a head, a chicken and egg.
Well, I think the analogy is right now that the U.S. is like a chicken without a head, with its head cut off.
Right? A chicken with its head cut off.
And that symbolizes like, you know, you're like this. You don't know what the rules are. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do.
We reported here on the show yesterday how a group of doctors is basically asking the CDC to stop releasing statements because they keep making conflicting statements.
Absolutely, yes.
So what is it? You know, one way or the other. We don't know. We do know that Josh Viswanath. Do you know who Josh Viswanath is? He's
yes,
a health communications professor at Harvard.
He's the Harvard scientist that was quoted in the journal this morning.
So he was quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying, quote, this is a direct quote. He said, you have to give credit to the American public. They can appreciate that science and evidence is changing.
End I quote. Was shocked by that quote. Right, I was like, is this science? Really in the journal? Because they're admitting that the American public is starting to be able to see through the rhetoric of politics and news media. That's what that quote said to me. And I was like, wow, that's so refreshing.
But also that science is changing, right? That we're acknowledging that science is always fluid, right? We're always testing the scientific
yes,
hypothesis, right?
And also that we're, well, what we thought maybe about the pandemic is not necessarily true. For instance, like we thought vaccines would be a hard stop, or some people did, or that's what the messaging was, right? Is like, you can't get it or spread it once you're vaccinated. And now the American public finally understands that that's not true.
Right.
So I don't know if it's the science that's changing or the messages that's changing, but the American public realizes if this is not a hard and fast, like, black and white issue anymore.
But there are still many Americans who believe, because of that messaging from Dr. Fauci and others, that, hey, you know, we absolutely, and President Biden last week, by the way, last week saying that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. So literally in a week, we're getting these changes from the CDC and President Biden coming out now admitting that, in fact, we are going to be living with this for the rest of our lives. It's not going away and you can't out-vaccinate it.
So are they not saying that anymore about the
oh, we'll no, see. They still want you to vaccinate. I don't know. What's your opinion on that, David, this quote that the Wall Street Journal is finally saying the American public is realizing? I felt like this was last night. David texted Clayton and I a video from Megyn Kelly basically saying this. The American public, even the left, even the libs are starting to see changing. This is shifting information, right?
Yeah,
so that's that was how I felt.
Or that they're acknowledging it finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that it's, you know, after a year and a half of, or, you know, basically 2 years of hearing the same rhetoric, but seeing, like, we're not seeing what they're saying anymore, finally. You know, it's like they keep saying these things, but we're not seeing the proof that it's true what they're saying. So I think a lot of people are starting to wake up, and that's what's going to have to happen, is the left and right are going to have to wake up and come together if we're ever going to fix any of this mess.
Yeah, and stop politicizing this, you know,
right.
At the end of the day.
That's the thing. Everything is politicized in this country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, well, you might have noticed the stock market is freaking out a little bit because all that free money that the Federal Reserve has been giving Wall Street is about to dry up. I know so many of you are crying right now. you're really sad about the folks on Wall Street. You're going to see a lot of crying eyes on Wall Street, because right now the prospect of a Federal Reserve triple threat is about to happen, which is, no, count them on your hand here. One of them is a tightening, okay? One of them is a tightening that they expect to own and to pull back on these asset purchases. The other is to raise interest rates. And the third could be teeing up a balance sheet reduction. Now, they have over $8 trillion on their balance sheet that they still, from the 2008 financial collapse, have not removed from their balance sheet when they funneled billions of dollars then to Wall Street and all of these Wall Street banks. They kept it on their balance sheet. They bought up all of these crappy corporate junk bonds. They kept it on their balance sheet. They continued to pay $120 billion a month to Wall Street banks to make sure that they were liquid. And now they're going to raise interest rates, and Wall Street is going to have to figure out another way to buy their shares back with all of this free money. So that's important for investors, because central bank liquidity basically has helped underpin markets during all of this COVID craziness. And there's going to be a lot of tears on Wall Street very, very soon. Well, we have to talk about this, which was yesterday, this bizarre day in Washington, D.C., around the anniversary of January 6th. It felt like in many ways we were in a bizarro world. First, we saw President Biden giving a speech where he castigated President Trump and said that President Trump was to blame for the carnage because he was a greedy man who is only interested in power. Here is President Biden giving the speech yesterday, speaking about President Trump.
The former President of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election. He's done so because he values power over principle, because he sees his own interest as more important than his country's interest, than America's interest.
Well, the same people said,
I instead of Trump. Like, it would have the same, I mean, it's the very same thing if he would have said that about himself.
Because it felt like to me watching that speech was like, come on, you're doing this for political reasons. You're showing your agenda has been a total failure so far. Democrats control the Senate. They control the House. They control the White House. What are you going to hang your hat on come the midterm elections? You're going to hang your hat on the fact that Republicans and Trump were trying to overthrow this democracy. That's the only thing you're going to hang your hat on right now.
And if you're looking at tone, when he took office 1 year ago, his tone was very much like, I know that some people feel like I was not legitimately voted in. I understand you're hurt. I am a president of unity. That is not this tone any longer.
Right. It's not. No.
Come on, man.
It's true, Joe. I mean, look, you know, you get up, you have an opportunity to heal on this day, right? To say, let's put our divisions behind us. Yes, there are people who were upset about 2020 election. Now is an opportunity for us to come together, like, and move past this. Instead, it was a more divisive speech than I think we thought we were going to see from the president. And there was a lot of reporters who cover the president very closely who were shocked, actually, by this speech. I was too. Like, it was pretty, I don't get shocked by things that President Biden does a lot, but this was actually a pretty shocking moment to see the president that vitriolic about President Trump. But even more shocking, perhaps, was Kamala Harris, whose poll numbers are now somewhere.
Makes sense.
That's right, Judge. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt the judge. You got to be careful when you do that. But Kamala Harris, right now, her poll numbers are now somehow higher than President Biden's, according to last week's poll numbers. And she came out yesterday and gave a speech where she compared the January 6th attack to 9/11 and the attack on Pearl Harbor. Listen to this.
Oh, my gosh.
Assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
2021.
You know what's so funny to me is, like, she always tries to go for this heartfelt stuff. Like, I was that girl, and it always falls short. I never feel anything from her. I don't get it. I don't feel any emotion when she talks whatsoever, even if she's trying to be heartfelt.
Even trying to be heartfelt, but also trying to compare these three different dates. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
So I guess this means we're going to set up a January 6th memorial, like the Arizona, when you can go and visit.
Oh, please spare me that.
I'm telling you, that's going to come. You're going to see a January 6th memorial at Washington, D.C.
They're going to have a big light, big spotlight coming out of the top of the Capitol building now.
Yes, exactly. You know, all of the people that died on 9/11, like thousands of people that died on 9/11, over 3,000. You go out to Pennsylvania, in the fields of Pennsylvania, there's a memorial. Like, you're going to compare 9/11 to one person being killed inside of the Capitol on 9/11, on January 6th. Who was one of the protesters.
Well, I think I can see the parallel she's trying to make is that it was an attack on American democracy, right?
Right.
That all three were attacks on American democracy to fundamentally threaten what the country is founded on.
Okay. I mean...
So you can say that, yes. It is. It does not have the national... pain or resounding consequences, but it does seem like politicians want to pretend that it does because there is political capital to be gained.
Okay, so that's the heart of it. You just hit on that. You hit the nail on the head right there. 147 people that go into the Capitol. Some of them are swept up in the melee. Some of them who planned to come ahead of time, yes, bought tactical gear and other things, right? Go into the Capitol, probably had no plan. Was it really a coordinated attack, like attack on Pearl Harbor? Like the Emperor of Japan is going to attack us at 7 a.m. at Pearl Harbor to wake up the sleeping giant. I mean, mm-hmm. Is that really? No, that's not what this was, right? That's not what this was. Like a hairstylist from Texas gets on a private jet and flies, comparing her to Osama bin Laden.
Who also is a citizen, right? So right. This was an attack from within on political policy or protocol, which the Constitution does say we are guaranteed the right to rise up against our government if we don't. You're not. I don't want to go down this path.
Well, that's what the Second Amendment is for. We even have the right to bring up arms. I mean,
yes, you do. Absolutely, you do. So I'm not justifying anyone's actions.
No. But what she is saying, I think, is trying to compare this idea that a hundred and 200 people break into the Capitol, they try to get access to the election results and try to overturn it. That is maybe I'll ask you in the chat. Hey, far be it for me to compare. Do you think that an attack on Pearl Harbor, an attack on 9/11 is the same as the attack on January 6th, the riot at the Capitol on January 6th.
I don't even
6th.
Consider it an attack. But here's
a riot.
The thing. I feel like the reason that they're doing this, the reason that Biden did that speech, and the reason that Kamala and they're all virtual signaling and all this stuff is because they have nothing of substance to run on in the midterms. Like, they have nothing. And the reason they won the last election is because he wasn't Trump. And he was going to send out $2,000 checks, the next week. And people needed that right now. So this is all, again, theater that they're trying to get people again to feel like, oh, we can't let Trump back in because Trump was a tyrant. Trump is bad. You know, what happened on January 6th is like one of the worst things to ever happen to the American democracy.
And look how far we've come. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right,
instead.
And it's all...
And instead, he's going to do a repeat of 2020 and, realizing that the midterm elections are coming up and they have nothing to show for it. Again, I'm not a member of either party. And that's why I call BS on all of this. They're using this as a political football right now. And that's why Kamala Harris is trying to draw this parallel, this parallel between Pearl Harbor and these January 6th riot that broke into the Capitol and stole Nancy Pelosi's laptop. And yes, tried to grab Mike Pence and tried to do other things and awful things unfolded as a result of it. But I just don't. Anyway, that's my opinion.
What is this new saying, virtue signaling? This is the second time I've heard that.
Virtue signaling. It's like, I'm such a good person. I want everyone to know what a good person I am.
Uh-huh. Like, I went and got, like, wearing a T-shirt that says I got vaccinated.
Right. Or like it's like, okay, can you donate to a charity like David Letterman does anonymously? So he doesn't want anyone to tell anyone that he's donated to this charity to help a charity. And he doesn't want anyone telling anyone that David Letterman was the person who donated to this charity. Right. Or there's
like
other
Johnny
people.
Johnny Carson almost went broke because he gave away all his money.
Right. But no one knows that. Or there are the people that are like, I just donated millions of dollars to help blind children. I want you to know my virtue, and I'm going to tell you about it here on Twitter.
That's super obnoxious.
Exactly. So when you virtue...
So the the popularity of the phrase is to call out people for being obnoxious.
Exactly.
Like telling everybody that I floss every day or something right. like
they're,
that.
They're only, they're only saying it to make people think that they're good people. You know, that's like, that's so important to them. Like, I voted and you didn't. You're a loser.
So then if if I were to say to you, thank you for virtue signaling that, I'm basically saying I see your humble brag and I call you on it. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Got it. All right. We all got the lingo, everybody. Yeah. Thank you.
So if you were keeping track at home and you had yesterday, well, this, all this January 6th stuff, and you had the cast of Hamilton showing up to the Capitol on your January 6th bingo card, you would actually have won bingo because Nancy Pelosi introduced the cast of Hamilton to honor this horrible day yesterday in Washington, D.C. If you, it doesn't get any cringier than this.
We're privileged to have a contribution from one of the great creative talents of our time, Lin-Manuel and his father, and the Hamilton singers, whom we'll hear from.
The Hamilton singers.
They were all very honored.
The Hamilton singers, almost like it's a barbershop quartet. Here you go. Here they are on a pre-recorded video.
A new year brings hope for the future, new energy to face the tasks ahead of us, and a renewed promise to strengthen the foundations of our democracy.
Now, look, I like Lin-Manuel Miranda. I think he's an amazing American who's created multiple amazing stage plays and musicals and Hamilton and In the Heights. And hey, he brought us the Cantina song from The Force Awakens. So he's done a lot, right? And Hamilton, yes, was amazing. We've seen it multiple times, but how cringy. And so then they asked them to sing the song, which, come on, here we go. So then they perform Theodosia.
Oh, yes.
So they chose
That's
this.
The baby song.
The baby song. So this is the song they chose to sing, from the Hamilton musical.
My son, look at my son. Pride is not the word I'm looking for.
There is so much more inside me now.
It reminds me of the time that they all put the African scarves on and kneeled in the in that picture. It's like it's more virtue signaling. That's what this is too.
Okay. Why this song? This song is about these two founding fathers becoming fathers and saying that they will. But I just want to
explained it. Lin-Manuel explained it, and then he said, "This is the song I chose to perform."
I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt to say what is the message here? Okay, so these two fathers are saying we will make a better country for our children. And in this moment, they're saying we are all collectively fighting to make a better country for our children.
Right.
So, okay. We can give them that. Yeah,
I'm fine with the song. It's just cringy. Though. It's just like, okay, somebody from the Democratic Party was like, you know what? We need Lin-Manuel. We need to call the cast of Hamilton for this solemn occasion.
Because this is the movie that inspires people about their own country right now. This is the cultural artifact.
Yeah. But I feel like it's somebody how can we really take advantage of this moment and make this far worse than it was? Let's figure out how we can touch the American people's hearts. What could we do? Oh, let's get somebody to come in and sing a song. Like, it's like somebody in the behind the scenes was thinking, how do we make this something that it wasn't?
Ula Hula in the chat says, meanwhile, stimulus? Yeah. Hey, they can all come together and get the cast of Hamilton here, right? How about actually helping the American people? That's an idea. But you know who really brings us together? When I think of unity and around this whole January 6th, there's one person that I think, if anything else, unites us more as a country than any other living human being, and that is Dick Cheney. So Dick Cheney was in the Capitol yesterday, and, you know, if you couldn't believe all the other stuff that unfolded yesterday, yes, Dick Cheney showed up to show his support for Liz Cheney and also show his support for this January 6th memorial. And he was one of the only Republicans that showed up, by the way, for the moment of silence. But it was so weird because reporters were saying all these Democrats who, you know, castigated Dick Cheney over the years for getting us into Iraq, the warmonger Dick Cheney, right?
Yeah.
All of these Democrats yesterday.
I actually thought he was dead.
All these Democrats yesterday were lining up one by one to go up to him and shake his hand and pay their respects to Dick Cheney. So Dick Cheney is the guy who brings us all together on January 6th?
He may not be the hero you deserve. he's the hero we need. We call for right now. I know I got the quote wrong. You say it, David. He's the hero we deserve.
He's not the hero we want, but he's the hero we needed.
Yeah, hero we deserve. Okay. And finally, if you were, you know, really dealing with grief from January 6th, don't worry. There were four-legged support animals that were also deployed throughout the Capitol yesterday just to make sure that you were okay. And I love this Huffington Post reporter, as Glenn Greenwald said, he unironically tweeted this. Love all the four-legged emotional support professionals roaming the Capitol this week, helping officers, staffers, and reporters alike in dealing with all of the pain.
Okay, but I don't want to, we should not diminish the fact that these people were afraid of people coming into their workplace armed. It would be really nice if Congress would have this same type of reaction to every child who is hunted down with a gun at their school.
Yeah.
And but so, okay, videos, we're though, sorry you around. Were traumatized by armed intruders, but that happens armed, regularly. Some of them were armed, right? But this happens regularly in American educational establishments. So, you know, I understand that that's a traumatizing thing. But you're not there to make laws against anybody not doing this to children. What?
By Why the are you way, laughing? Because I'm laughing at Ula Hula in the chat saying, remember, Dick Cheney shot a guy in the face. And yes. The guy apologized. The guy apologized to Dick Cheney. Like, that's how, I mean, that's who, you know, I don't know. I get what you're saying.
Okay, but we're trying to say it's terrifying when people break into where you think is a safe establishment and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Right? But Congress has no, and so they're all standing there saying, look, we were traumatized last year. We survived it. Please have empathy for us. And I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time doing that when they refuse to protect any children from any such repeat.
Okay, but then on the one hand, but then you're also defending the four-legged support animals that are roaming the Capitol.
Fine, send those to kids who also have been. Does Columbine have those on a regular basis, or Sandy Hook, or what? The one in Florida?
Because that doesn't get media attention.
Right.
They only want it for the pictures.
It's really hard for me to say, like, oh, poor you, that must have been really scary. Then maybe you can relate to office place shootings, or like, does the FedEx in Indianapolis have this? Or we don't even care. We don't even remember.
No, but reporters are really going through a lot of grief right now. All of these like NBC and CNN reporters who were there and have been traumatized by this, they need these emotional support animals, right?
Yeah, the planted journalists that were in there taking award-winning photos, like those poor right. people.
Again, I don't want to diminish, but I also feel like we should not glorify some people's pain over others.
Yeah. Well.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. They only do it because they can get media eyes. Like, look at this. These posed pictures. Like, these are people like, okay, pose for this picture. Let's get this picture so we can get this message out that how devastating this was. Because, again, they have nothing else to run on other than people's fears. And that's what they're trying to establish so that the Democrats can, again, say, remember January 6th? Remember yeah. this? Remember this pain? We have to keep this man out of office. We can't let Republicans win. That's all they got.
Yeah. Exactly. As far as pet photos go for Friday, those kind of suck. But
right. We do have your pet photos, which are going to be way better than these emotional support.
But that St. Bernard is super cute. I just feel sorry for it that it has to be in Congress.
Yeah. So those are your news headlines, although we just did get some breaking news just moments ago on the unemployment rate, which came out just a few seconds ago. And the latest hiring figures fell below expectations. So not surprising. So I guess once again, Democrats realizing, hey, we have nothing right now. We have nothing right now. The Department of Labor saying 199,000 jobs in December, the unemployment rate hitting 3.9%. fell below expectations for December. Those are the new unemployment statistics that just came out moments ago. We've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about these Supreme Court mandates on vaccines and all of that coming up here. But first, you want to tell us about our show sponsor?
Indeed, I do. I would like to tell you about our show sponsor over at Wix.com. Wix is excited to help you and your business succeed this year and beyond. Building a successful business online can be challenging, from creating a standout online presence and building a marketing strategy to the technical side of running a website. It's a lot. That's where Wix comes in. It offers a complete business solution with all the features you need to create, manage, and grow online. You can build your website exactly the way you want, with thousands of design features that have been created with your needs in mind. Wix has strong infrastructure in place, providing you with reliable hosting and fast loading times. What does that mean? It means that as a user, you'll have faster performing websites for your customers anywhere in the world. If you are not an expert web designer and back-end creator, you don't need to become one, because Wix will do it for you. And on top of it all, you get marketing and business tools built into your website dashboard that makes it even easier for you to reach the right audience. So head on over to Wix.com. Join the millions of people who are growing their business online today. That's Wix.com, and we thank them so much for their support of this show.
All right, let's talk about these Supreme Court mandates now, because we knew this was going to hit a wall, as the U.S. Supreme Court is going to deal with the vaccine mandates that the Biden administration has rolled out at the federal level. And so they are going to start to hear those arguments today.
So the Biden administration had given federal employees, federal contractors, and certain small businesses with a limited number of employees a mandate to have all employees vaccinated by January 4th. That resulted in a lawsuit from 12 states as well as small businesses. It was kicked over to the U.S. Court of Appeals, and then the Sixth Court blocked that, and now it's volleyed over to the Supreme Court. So these religious groups, businesses, and leaders and Republican-led states are going to argue that these vaccine mandates are an overreach by the federal government, and they also are going to ask for a stay, which means that while this case is being tried, the administration cannot enforce the vaccine mandate. So most likely we will not get a ruling. The Supreme Court will not give its final ruling one way or the other. But based on the way the arguments go today, the Supreme Court can say, okay, this cannot be enforced until it is ruled upon by the highest court in the land, which means no vaccine mandates would be federally required. So it's interesting. We remind you again that the Supreme Court has a conservative bent. There are more conservative judges than liberal ones. At least that's the labels we slap on them.
Well, a number of them are newly appointed Trump appointees. So yes, that's the case.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's fair to say. But also, the Supreme Court does regularly rule in favor of big business. So it will be interesting to see where they side on this.
So if we want to go through what the Department of Health and Human Services specifically said in their letter about this, they're basically saying, hey, the unvaccinated staff at healthcare facilities poses a serious threat to the health and safety of patients.
They didn't at the beginning of the pandemic. They do now, though.
Now they do. So when all of those healthcare workers, this is not what they said, this is me saying this, but at the beginning, of course, we asked all of these nurses and doctors to be on the front lines, right? And they were unvaccinated and they were there working tirelessly. Now they've gone through it. Now the Health and Human Services is saying the secretary found that unvaccinated staff at healthcare facilities poses a serious threat to the health and safety of patients because the virus that causes COVID-19 is highly transmissible and dangerous. So that's what they're saying in these court documents. Well, we told you here last week on the show how now they are asking, hospitals are begging nurses who they asked to go home, doctors they asked to go home that did not want to get a vaccine, they're asking them to come back, even if they are unvaccinated, because we just have absolute shortages. We need your help right now. Come back.
Yes. And in fact, major media stories, I've been combing through these stories about, you know, outbreak in this area, outbreak in that area, outbreak in this area. And it usually says hospitals are backed up for testing and because of staffing shortages, not necessarily for hospital beds. You may recall about 2 years ago when we started this fun pandemic, it was bed numbers that was being reported. These are, you know, what capacity of beds do they have? Which hospitals are putting beds in the parking lot or the parking garage? But now it does not have much to do with increased hospitalizations. It is staff shortages, specifically due to vaccine mandates, and also testing, this backlog of testing, this nightmare, right?
And the government's argument here, though, is that, hey, if we mandate this, if we mandate all of these nurses get vaccines and do all of this, regardless of their health history, regardless if they need it, okay, and regardless of whether or not they have, they have some sort of a medical exemption or a religious exemption, it doesn't matter. The government is arguing that this vaccination will alleviate staff shortages by making it less likely that healthcare workers would contract the virus and then get sidelined to recover. So what do we, if that's their main argument, let's just unpack that. And we now know that Omicron, for, you know, at least among a healthy population, even an unhealthy population, even people with comorbidities, Omicron is very, very mild and causes runny nose, sore throat. It's on par with what we understand from the data to be like the common cold. What are we really concerned about? That they're going to be sidelined to recover if they get the virus and are contracted the virus?
Assuming they are not new graduates.
Too.
Yes, right.
Right.
Assuming that these are the same healthcare workers who've been in it since the beginning, wouldn't most of them have been exposed for at least the first 10 months until the vaccine came out?
And a lot of medical professionals.
And have contracted it.
I have an anecdote.
Okay, anecdote.
I have an anecdote, which is a doctor who works in Israel, works in the UK, surgery, very, very, very good surgeon, you know, got COVID before anyone was really talking about it as a big, you know, thing. And he treated himself. There was no vaccines and he took vitamin D and all of these other things. But how many other doctors were in that same situation who were in the hospitals, already contracted it, already have built up antibodies? The United States has no pathway for natural immunity and no discussion about natural immunity in these documents at all. So wouldn't these doctors who have been exposed to it, had it, why would they be forced to then take a vaccine? Makes no sense.
Right.
Well, and also, it would be different. If the vaccine 100% stopped transmission and all of that, then you could argue it. But once that went away, then this argument falls apart and makes no sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we were told at the beginning, right? That this was going to stop it. You get a vaccine, that will stop it. Yeah. To flatten the curve. Everyone gets the vaccine. It'll stop it in its tracks and it'll go away. We now know that that's not the case. So keep your eyes here. We're going to be watching this today, and then we'll have reports on this next week about what the Supreme Court does specifically on these vaccine mandates.
And also, I mean, we will get some headlines around their questioning. So we'll get some idea of how they feel about it, which we don't really know yet. And it's been a mixed bag. What happens with the courts? Certain employees that were fired at some hospitals lose their case against the hospitals, and some, you know. So now that we will have actually a Supreme Court ruling on it, there will no longer be this some people don't get their jobs back and some people do type hodgepodge.
Yeah, I mean, because opponents of all of this have said, look, that this requirement is hasty, it's ill-conceived, and it puts an undue burden on small business. So I know that the Supreme Court usually comes down on the side of big business, right? Wall Street, that's usually where they side. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not you could really lump all of these small businesses in this pile for these mandates. And basically, the Supreme Court will have to say, hey, small business owners, you know, you don't have to do this. This is an undue burden on you. This is going to only exacerbate your hiring issues. This is going to only make it more difficult for you to make money by having this mandate on top of it. So if there's this OSHA mandate in place, then it's going to be more difficult for you to hire because people are going to say, I don't want to do this. And it could really crush some of these small businesses. Amazon, Target, Walmart, those guys will be fine. They can weather this storm. It's the small businesses that get crushed during all of this. So it'll be interesting to see how the Supreme Court plays on this field. So let's talk about Netflix this morning. So a new memo has been leaked. This story is just unbelievable. So The Verge got their hands on an internal memo from Netflix all around this Dave Chappelle controversy. Now, you remember, of course, the Dave Chappelle Netflix special, which is hilarious. It was called The Closer. It came out in the fall. He said it was going to be his last Netflix special, the third in his series, right? And it was a huge success. And the ratings of it were through the roof, like really highly regarded. In fact, here's a rating that's up on Billboard's: a thought-provoking stand-up with a deeper meaning. That's a rap TV show and movie review. So that's up on Billboard's in different parts of the country for this, that they put up for the Closer. Netflix put a lot of money into this, and they paid David Chappelle, I mean, arguably, I think over like $100 million for this special. So they paid a lot, and they got a lot in return. You know, they didn't lose any subscribers. And in fact, they increased their subscriber base, and they had record profits as a result, right? So Netflix isn't hurting about this. But according to The Verge, Netflix has released an internal memo to all of those recruiters when they're hiring people to not talk about Dave Chappelle at all. Specifically, if people ask you questions, find a respectful way to end the conversation and move on to another topic. If you're pressed by your potential employee on the topic of areas not covered in the talking points, the memo says. The memo tells members of the talent acquisition team to not comment on Dave Chappelle's stand-up set, which sparked a national conversation about transphobia, cancel culture, and comedy. So in its section inside of the memo to its recruiting field, it says, the Closer and employees, Netflix encourages recruiters to state, quote, we value our trans colleagues and allies and understand the deep hurt that's been caused. First of all, what deep hurt has been caused? Then they say, we respect the decision.
Do you want an answer to that?
Hold on, let me finish this paragraph. Okay. We respect the decision of any employee who chose to walk out and recognize we have much more work to do within Netflix and in our content. Okay.
That wasn't their content, though.
Right. There's something else in here saying we believe it has no real world consequences. Do you see that? I'm looking for the quote. I don't see it. I read it earlier. I mean, so, okay, what's so wrong with this of telling people just don't comment?
Well, first of all, what employee, let's say I'm going to go to work for Netflix.
Okay,
right. I have the opportunity to go to work for Netflix in California and make a couple $100,000. And I'm going to sit down with a recruiter. I wouldn't be, I know about Netflix. Why would I be going to take an interview with Netflix if I was so opposed to Netflix because of The Closer and Dave Chappelle?
That's a little confusing to me, too, because if I'm trying to get a job there, am I going to push them about my personal agenda?
Exactly.
And then ask them to hire me?
That's like, hey, I hate fossil fuels, okay? I find it repugnant what it does to the earth, and then I'm going to go and sit down for an interview with Exxon, okay?
Yes.
And then I'm going to question them about their fossil fuel production. Are you guys moving to a green energy? Because I'm not going to probably take this job if you are continuing to, deep water drill for oil in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm not going to take this job. Well, fine. Then don't go, because we've got 30 other people here in the lobby who actually are engineers and we want to hire them.
So let's pretend this is company policy. It's just no one from Netflix should publicly comment on the political bent of this comedy special. Why is that not okay? Because let's say they have 5,000 employees, they have 5,000 different opinions about it, all valid by each person, but not valid on behalf of the company.
It's ridiculous.
So can't they say
it's a ridiculous it's Hollywood, it's this wokeness, it's exact. If you want like to look up wokeness in the dictionary, this is it, right? Think about all of the other things that Netflix, think about how many thousands and thousands of movies and TV shows and documentaries that they have on their platform. You could sit down tonight and watch the Ted Bundy conversations, right? The audio recordings of Ted Bundy going through and explaining how he killed people, right? That's okay. We can't
have movies about priests molesting kids. Like,
right.
It's like,
why can't we have a conversation?
The thing is, like, if you don't like Dave Chappelle, turn it off. Go watch something else.
And most of all, don't apply for a job at the company you think paid Dave Chappelle $100 million to do a Netflix special. And by the way, these people probably never watched the Netflix special. They're just joining on this Twitter bandwagon about how it was bad or how it was a really, I thought it was a thought-provoking, really interesting and funny comedy special. And so you're not going to work at a company because they are a platform? I mean, it's ridiculous to me.
Okay, but let me just extrapolate what, let's just give some airtime to what the opposition to the closer is that when Dave Chappelle points out someone's assigned birth gender, how it is different from however they are presenting, and makes a joke out of it, it makes life a little bit more dangerous for people who are also presenting as a gender that they were not born as, right? And so if that can become a joke,
why is that Netflix responsibility, though, to send out a memo to recruiters
about
hiring?
I'm not saying it is, but I think that you should understand. I think it's worth understanding how a transgendered person would say, look, I felt the wrong gender my whole life. Now I'm presenting as the gender I feel is legitimate. And I think that it's dangerous if people think it's a joke because it promotes hatred and people can get hurt in the real world. The same way homophobia or anything of the sort, right? So we're giving, at least we understand that. I personally don't feel like Dave Chappelle's jokes about transgender are delegitimate. I don't feel that. I have other, like, I don't like the sexism in his jokes, but I appreciate that he feels that way and it doesn't hurt me as a woman. Right.
You can choose to watch the special or not and laugh or not, right?
There are plenty of things that I'm like, I don't like that, you know? And then there are plenty of things where I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's, you know, you can take it and leave it.
That goes back to the whole argument of, do video games cause violence? It's like, there's no proof that people are going to watch that comedy show and then go out and be transphobic. Like,
yes.
You know, like, just like video games, there's no proof that kids are going to play violent video games and go out and kill people.
Right. Great point. I mean, that's the point that they're making here in this piece, which is that, you know, well, the memo, I guess at the heart of this is the memo, which is that, look, we're going to address this issue, that if you're sitting down and a potential employee is going to question you about Dave Chappelle, we want to let you know, like, we support trans rights, right?
So I think where this goes too far is the idea that Dave Chappelle is pointing out that transgendered people were born or assigned a different gender. And you are not supposed to point that out. You're supposed to sort of allow that, like, legitimize that person's new way that they're presenting. And I've been watching the latest Sex and the City, and sorry if there are spoilers here, but Charlotte has a child that decides that she doesn't want to be a girl. She wants to be a boy and changes her name at school, and everyone goes along with it. And the parents go in and they're like, why didn't you ask us if you could let her change her name to Rock or whatever? And they're like, oh, we didn't know you were resistant. And it pissed me off too, because I'm like, can't we all have a legitimate reaction, whether we're legitimizing someone or asking follow-up questions? I think everybody should be legitimized in their attempts to be inclusive.
But why do people have, the thing is, like, why do people, like, if I wanted to be a woman, I would just go be a woman. I wouldn't be like, hey, you guys, everybody, hey, Facebook, I'm going to become a woman. Like, you know, like, I wouldn't bring all that upon myself. I would just do it. And I think that's
the problem.
I don't think
it's that easy, though.
Well, but it could be. But
I think we're missing,
if people were more accepting of just people being exactly who they are instead of having to label it and make it something like this big thing.
I think at the heart of this, though, is that this is Netflix sends out a memo, picks one specific thing out of its entire catalog of things to be upset about. This comes when we talk about wokeness. This is exactly what it is. It is, we're going to tell you that we support trans rights. We're not transphobic. We still support Dave Chappelle. So can you have it both ways? Like, you can't be somewhat woke, right? That's the thing with wokeness as a religion. It really is a religion. You can't be somewhat woke.
It's a cult.
It is. religion, as defined by Section 7, right, Title 7, basically says that if you believe it to your core in the same way that you would believe something like a religion. So what's to separate someone who really believes in something like wokeness or believes in these things like environmentalism or something? It's to their core. It's a religion. It doesn't matter that there's not like a Book of Mormon or a dogma. You believe it, right? So they choose to stand up and say, send this note out to their employees about Dave Chappelle, while at the same time seeing a huge spike in subscribers to their platform. They paid Dave Chappelle $100 million to do the special. They supported Dave Chappelle and said, we're not removing the special from our Netflix, our network. But then secretly they're sending out this memo. How do we deal with this? You can't have it both ways. Either you just say, we are an entertainment company. We have thousands of different videos and movies and TV shows all representing all walks of life and ways of life. You can subscribe or not. Bye. Why does Netflix have to play politics with this? Why do they have to fall victim to this woke mob? No one canceled Netflix. No one canceled Netflix over this Dave Chappelle special. In fact, their numbers went up.
Yeah.
There wasn't like a mass, oh my God, we're going to cancel Netflix because Dave Chappelle did a comedy special and talks about, and by the way, he's not transphobic. He had a really interesting discussion about it. No one canceled Netflix. No one said, that's it. I'm done with Netflix. No one did that. And by the way, there were two employees who quit, one of which was actually fired because they gave away illegal sensitive information. They were terminated by releasing confidential information from the company. So fine, these two employees who were trans decided to leave. They were disappointed in the company and they left. That was their thing, that they wanted to do that. So
then
why is Netflix?
Okay, then what is the right thing for them to say? If they're feeling like, hey, people are asking us so much, what should we say about this? Then it's like, you say whatever you want to say is your opinion. The company line is that he's an artist, and we think that this was a part of his art, is expressing his experience as a human.
Yeah.
And we allow him the platform to do so because we appreciate his art, and that's it, right? And if you want to have a discussion about how this affects trans people and their ability to present in an authentic way for themselves, we can do that. But I don't think, where I'm with you on this is, I don't think that has been done.
No. And they've chosen one thing out of their entire catalog of things that are highly controversial. Again,
yes.
Again, look in the documentary section of Netflix. Watch on How I Became a Killer.
What was the one where the 10-year-old girls were in bikinis, thong bikinis and belly shirts? Everyone was canceling Netflix about that like 3 years ago.
I get, take your pick, right? If you want to go on Netflix and find something to be upset about, you can easily do that, right?
Yeah.
Don't watch it if you don't want to.
Oh, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think of Emily in Paris in a few minutes here when we do. Right,
that's something to be upset about.
I am offended by that.
Emily in Paris, yeah, that's an awful show. So why don't we see a mass cancellation of Netflix over awful content? Anyway, let me know your thoughts on this in the chat below.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, we just need to accept people as human beings. Like, if you're a good human being, I accept you. If you're a dick, I don't. Like, that should be what it is, period. Whether you're trans, whether you're gay, whether you're white, black, whatever you are, just be a good human, period.
Well, that's why we have our Don't Be a D mugs.
Yes,
you know,
I think that the real conversation that's lost here is about how a trans person can watch this and say, oh, but I'm actually trying to be this and you're laughing at me and it hurts, right? That can be said in a way that is not part of the cancel culture. For instance,
Yeah, can't you just say it? Hey, I was offended by like going to a Don Rickles show, like from the 1960s and 70s and 80s. Don Rickles would get up on stage. I'm saying Don Rickles. Is Don Rickles still alive?
No.
He just passed away.
He did.
You know, he would get up on stage. He would make fun of Jews. He'd make fun of white. He would pick everyone was a target under and Don Rickles. And he'd go on The Tonight Show and make fun of everyone on The Tonight Show band. And he'd pick on what has happened to us, right? So if you're offended by Don Rickles.
He was Mr. Potato Head.
He was Mr. Potato Head in Toy Story. Like, Disney didn't find his stuff so offensive. Here's the thing about this cancel culture stuff, right? You have Gina Serrano from from
The Mandalorian.
Who was in The Mandalorian, who was canceled over her take about persecution of Republicans, comparing it to Nazis. Then you had Pedro Pascal, who plays The Mandalorian, who said virtually the exact same thing. He's allowed to keep his job. She's not. You want to then dig through Disney? Disney, you want to start digging through the archives to find out who is acceptable, right? So Don Rickles, how many times has he made fun of black people and Jews and on and on and on? And then you put him in a children's movie as Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story? Let's cancel Toy Story now. Let's cancel everything. It's ridiculous. Dave Chappelle is not transphobic, and this memo is ridiculous. And Netflix should know better. I mean, this is Netflix, I thought, was doing the right thing here by standing by a guy they paid $100 million to do a special. And they're saying, no, it's his. We did the special. You can choose to watch it or not. And we're not going to be political about it. And then we learn about this memo. And I'm just disappointed, I think, more than anything about it.
Anyway, yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
I do not feel like the memo in and of itself is offensive. I feel like the larger story persists. But...
Maybe
that should just be the Netflix company line, is when you are interviewing, you do not comment on why Netflix put certain content on our platform, because you don't make those decisions.
And by the way, if you're applying for a job at Netflix, don't ask that question. You're there to get a job, not, well, maybe I'll take this job if you tell me why you decided to do a Netflix special with Dave Chappelle. Like, give me a break. Anyway, let me know your thoughts on this in the chat below.
But again, it falls down to hypocrisy. If they're going to do that, then go watch Netflix's whole catalog before you work there, because there's a lot of stuff in their catalog that you would be that's way worse than what you would get out of something Chappelle did.
Well, we got to come back to the topic, which is go woke, go broke, right? Like,
yeah.
If that's where you want to go, then you're going to go broke, because good luck. You're not going to be able to do anything in this life. you know, you're not going to be able to wear clothes.
And time again.
I mean, just try it. Just try it. Yeah, Tosh.0, exactly. Like, just think about all
of this. Did you see that coffee shop? There was a coffee shop that put a 20% man tax on their coffee. And so men had to pay 20% more than anyone else. And they went out of business when they implemented that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, we got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about this new military base. We got what's trending, and we've got your pet photos that you sent in, where you have a whole bunch of pet photos today. So, Sherry, thank you for sharing your pet photos with us. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Manscaped. So Manscaped is fantastic. Manscaped is the number one place for you to get a new look for this 2022, right?
A haircut,
if you want to know what we're talking about here. So Manscaped has a skin-safe technology, which is better than just about anything else out there. In fact, someone in our chat yesterday was saying, hey, I need the Manscaped link because I need to get one right now. Well, now is your lucky day, right? So we have it right on the screen. If you use the code INVEST, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping when you use Manscaped. When you go to manscaped.com, just use that link at manscaped.com/invest. And you will get 20% off your Manscaped order. So Manscaped, cheers to 2022 and resolutions that you could actually keep. How about having clean and shiny balls all year round? Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to save you and make the ball drop into 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. So here's what you do. I want you to try out a new grooming routine. And it's not complete without applying the Crop Preserver and the Crop Reviver. You can show off your 2022 self with these unique revitalizing formulations to take care of the smelliest parts of your body. So I just ordered the nose trimmer thing. So I just ordered that. They have the lawnmower, their lawnmower 4.0 and their performance package 4.0, which is the signature lawnmower. It's the electric trimmer designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks no matter where you're using it. Using it on sideburns or in your personal spots, it doesn't matter. And I just ordered the weed whacker because I needed the new weed whacker for my nose and ears. Yeah, now, I'm 45. I just turned 45. You need this stuff, guys. It's got a wireless charging system. You can use it in the shower. It's fantastic. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in their shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs as free gifts to keep all of your goodies stored comfortably. So right now, they are giving you the chance to get free shipping, 20% off your order with code INVEST. If you go to manscaped.com, that's 20% off with free shipping. Manscaped.com, use the code INVEST. It's New Year's. It's a new year in 2022. You need to look your best, and you got the best tools for your job. Be sure to travel over to manscaped.com for their exclusive offer, 20% off, free shipping, and code INVEST right now.
All right, Clayton, can I interest you in a brand new military base?
Oh, yes, need a military base.
Heated floors. It has track lighting.
Thank God.
What else what do people like these days?
An open floor plan?
Open floor plan.
Is that what
the United States has said that it will now open Special Operations Command Center in
Albania.
Albania. I was going to say, like, do you want to take a guess? Because it's anybody's choice. Albania now. Yes. And that is because Albania has joined NATO and the United States now thinks it needs some presence there.
So when you join NATO, this is the benefit, right? You join NATO and the U.S. will build a military base
there.
You
get some Americans to come and live there and spread some guns.
Spread some joy. Now, just to clarify, just to put this in perspective, right? Americans are suffering like never before, right? Americans are drowning in student loan debt. Americans can't pay their bills. Americans are quitting their jobs in droves because they don't get health care. They're not taken care of. And they're having to stay home and take care of their family because they're in some cases, their jobs are gone altogether.
Yes.
We just saw the new jobs numbers that just came out a few moments ago. It said like December jobs numbers are bad. They're not anywhere near the expectations that we had. And we can't pass a stimulus bill. We can't pass a Build Back Better plan. We can't extend child tax credits to help families. But we sure as hell can build a brand new military base. So,
and pollute the skies, apparently, which is what you were just showing. Oh my goodness.
This new military base, if you want to look at, according to David Vine, he's the professor of political anthropology at the American
of Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C., he has said that we have 750 military bases in at least 80 countries.
I got to think that that 20% raise that the United States just gave its military budget does not cover a new base and that they will then cut themselves a check.
Oh, you think? Of course.
Yes. This is me guessing here. But you would think a military base is pretty expensive to implement. And in a lot of these places, which is interesting, if you go into, say, an American consulate abroad in Europe, for instance, and you walk into the American consulate, they're using American outlets. So like your European plug won't work in the embassy because they send in American contractors to build that out as if it is American. So they have all, so it's really expensive to implement these foreign offices.
I mean, it is amazing.
It's strange too. Like, why do you need American computers or American plugs? I get for security reasons you want your own computer systems, but why do you need
120 volts?
Why do you need those plugs?
Like
have to retrofit everybody's stuff.
It's really strange. Yeah. And so, but this is the kind of thing, like you get American toilets on an American base. In fact, I saw an American toilet recently, which I hadn't seen in a long time. And I was like, so much water. Because when you flush a toilet in Europe, you have like a third of that. You just don't have so much water for every flush. And I went into an American establishment like this recently. And I was like, whoa, too much water. That's no wonder the world is in crisis.
So Albania
I would push for Japanese toilets.
Oh, yeah. The heated ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Albania became a member of NATO back in 2009, and they're saying that this new Special Forces and Counterterrorism and Reconnaissance Operations military base will allow them to infiltrate enemy lines to tie down much larger numbers of opposition troops. So that's the whole reason we're using this right now. It's basically their new role is to rapidly respond to emerging threats, and if necessary, defeat aggression together with its allies.
From where? I guess.
Emerging threats.
Because Albania sits between the Italian coast and upward, you know, and Central Europe and the Middle East. So it is kind of geographically located if we continue to make enemies in the Middle East.
Strategically located, right?
Yes. What did I just say?
You said geographically located. Every country.
Strategically.
Because every country is geographically located.
That would be true.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's funny, this Reuters article is like, this is fantastic news. Yay. You know?
Of course it is. Yeah, because, well, hey, maybe the Reuters, like, new, you know, the reporters can put on their little helmets and go and be on the front lines, you know, embedded with the military in these particular zones. Yeah, here's, you know, if you look at the map, here is near, here is Albania, to give some perspective on where it is at the boot of Italy, right here. It's on the heel of Italy, and it's right near Greece. So obviously, you know, to have that strategic advantage in the Balkans is exactly what they're doing here. It's to make sure that we are ready to pounce and we can fly right into the Balkans and attack Serbia. I don't know. Who else we want to attack today?
Let's attack Belgrade.
Yeah, let's just go after Belgrade. You can do a lot of stuff here. You can go, you want to fly into Sarajevo again? You want to go into Romania? What about Bucharest? You can go anywhere right there in Albania.
Ooh, Hungary. We could go. We could go get. Is it? Where's? What? Who has like really good food? Let's go take their food.
Greece.
All of them do. All of them. Actually.
Right here, Italy. Yeah. You have Greece right here. I mean, think about it. This is a great. You can go to Montenegro. Maybe they fear Montenegro. By the way, Montenegro is becoming one of the most free countries in the world. Business friendly countries
in the
world.
Based on the United States, that would make sense.
We don't like that.
Montenegro is a real threat. You know, more people are setting up businesses in Montenegro now. They've got business friendly environment. They have freedom. They have more freedoms than the United States. So maybe that's what they fear, is they fear Montenegro. So we need to set up a military base in Albania. And by the way, we need to pour billions of dollars in Albania. So we will continue now to, we're going to set up a military base there. We will make sure that, because you allow us to put a military base there, we will support you as a country. We will send you billions of dollars like we do all of our other countries. So it's the trade-off.
Yes.
You
know? Are we at 1,000 yet? Do we have 1,000 yet? Or are we still 900?
No. I mean, according to David Vine, who again is the professor at American University in Washington, D.C., we're about 750-ish military bases around the world in 80-plus countries.
Hmm.
Force for good.
Yeah.
We're a force for good.
Well, and now we're an interstellar force for good.
Right, with the Space Force.
Yeah.
An interstellar space for good.
Only where to go now is the core of the Earth. We go inward.
Well, we're going to Mars. We're going to Moon.
That's where we get our oil.
Yeah. All right, shall I tell you what's trending online?
Yeah, before we get to our pet photos of the day.
Okay. Dawn FM is trending. And this is the name of the new album from The Weeknd, which was released today. The album features Jim Carrey. He's also on the sort of trailer for the album, which is a mashup of some of the songs. And so Jim Carrey is also trending today.
I don't get that. Why is Jim Carrey in it?
He sort of speaks. He's not singing. There are some parts where you'll have to listen to it for yourself. I'm not going to give you a rendition. Bitcoin is trending because a crypto market plunged on Thursday and dragged tech stocks down with them. You probably know this. This was partly due to the mining shutdowns in Kazakhstan, and everyone freaked out about that. Plus, general sentiment that the Federal Reserve is going to tighten its controls over currencies it does not currently control. Lily Collins is trending. That's not her. Nope. Yeah, that one. She's trending because she's the actress that plays the lead in Emily in Paris. Twitter really wanted her to play the lead in the new Audrey Hepburn biopic that Apple now has the rights to. Do we say biopic or biopic?
I say biopic.
Okay. Yeah. She was not chosen for this. Instead, Rooney Mara was. The actresses do look similar. That's why I decided on this tight pulled hair back, because that I thought was so fabulous on her. Now you cut to me and it's not as fabulous.
Yes, it is.
No, look at her.
This is all photoshopped.
Yes. Right?
I mean,
that's probably not even her real
hair. I'm sure it's her real hair. Did you know that she is Joaquin Phoenix's main squeeze?
Walking Dead really? Phoenix? Who's Walking Phoenix? Oh,
Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, they had a baby together recently. I did not know they were a couple until research. See her with the tight pullback? You know her. She also is the actress from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And The Social Network. She was Zuckerberg's girlfriend.
That's right. Yeah. She's a fabulous actress. I'm glad she was chosen. I think Lily Collins should be excluded from serious projects because Emily in Paris is so stupid. But that's just, I disagree with Twitter on this one. Britney Spears is trending because she posted fully nude photos of herself. I think we can share them because she has strategically placed hearts. Emojis on her lady garden. The caption here is "Free woman energy has never felt better," in reference to her newfound freedom from her conservatorship.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do that. And then she also has some new bikini pictures where she's wearing high-waisted, and she thinks that that is so interesting because she always wears the super low-cut stuff. So she's like, look, guys, at my high-waisted bikini. But she does the same left, right, left, right, left, right. That's all she does is put her... This is how you guys, if you want to pose like Britney, you put your hips back.
You got to stand up and do it here. Stand up and
you,
do it.
Okay.
Stand up and do it.
And
everybody's saying you need to be a model in here anyway, so
you go like this. Your hips back like that, like lordosis, like this.
Lordosis.
And it's like left, right, left, right, left, right. Because it elongates it's your stomach, so it makes you look like you've got really tight abs, and it's left, this. That's the Britney way. I've studied
Clayton,
this.
Can we see you
do that? see my sweatpants.
Oh,
all right.
Actually, I'm not wearing any pants.
So that is your Instagram tutorial for the day, you guys. In fact, I'm just going to have to show you the left.
Well, and thanks. She's been in front of cameras for basically her whole life, so.
Yes, and I applaud her. I just wonder, like, why can't she comb her hair for...
For her Instagram.
I know, but I'm kind of like, you know, I loved all her hairdos, and I just like, she's it's fine. Now you all have the.
By the way, that whole movie you can watch, is it on Netflix? That whole Britney documentary.
There's two now.
Yes. Maybe Netflix should send out a woke memo about that. Like, what if you're upset about Britney Spears? Like, what if I go to get a job at Netflix?
Well, and I specifically, ask about Britney? Then you would be upset with Katie Couric and Justin Timberlake based on that movie. So we should not speak about those people.
Okay.
Right?
I guess.
You see what I just sent you? Oh, you have to log in.
Where?
For it.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I can't log in.
The Britney. So, yeah. Anyway. Okay. If you pull that move off this weekend on your social network, please tag me. I want to see it. Okay.
All right. Finally. I'm gonna do it today.
I just go to her Instagram and I'm always like left right. That's
no. She likes Natalie likes Britney. I like Britney too.
Yes, yeah, I do.
So do I.
Maddie Flapper says Natalie has an issue with Britney. It's funny, but I get it.
I love her. No, I love her. I
How
do.
How can you not love Britney?
I you know, in some ways, I want to see like all her. I miss the costuming of Britney. It was very inspiring. You know, so I'm kind of like, do your hair more fun than that? Because you know, but this is like. This is exactly what the documentary tells me not to feel like, right? It's like, don't expect her to be there for your entertainment.
Yeah,
like,
Britney is not there
for
you.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, Britney's not there for you.
But can't I also want to see her like that? Like, I loved the images of her with the snake and the little green bikini. She did do that for me. So
I feel like she did this for me.
I think her hair looks good.
Okay, sure. Yeah, she looks great. She looks great. And I do like Britney. I'm just talking. Okay, let's talk about Taco Bell wings. They are trending because
Oh, no.
Taco Bell wings,
yes.
Guys.
No.
Yes,
no.
They are a thing. They are a temporary thing. Okay, but they're temporary. So people are furiously Googling if the Taco Bell near them has it because they don't all. And that's why it's trending to number two today, you guys. Number two in the United States is people want to know where to get these wings. I can't tell you. Well, you're going to have to Google it yourself. Taco Bell also launched this subscription service called the Taco Lovers Pass, where if you pay $10 a month, you get one taco per day, every single day. It's like Taco Netflix.
Sorry, I'm just looking up. Separate story here, USA obesity rates. I'm just doing a Google search for...
Right.
But you'll be happy to know
that
Taco Bell was rated the healthiest fast food restaurant in America.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering who goes there and says, I wish they had some wings, you know?
Well, yeah, like, I go there for tacos. I don't go there for wings and burgers. Like, that's where you go to the local bar.
No, I go to Hooters to get my wings.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
In Portugal? No.
By the way, let's be honest. Hooters wings are awful. Can we just say that?
They're not very good.
They have clam chowder.
Yeah, my dad one time picks me up. And he's like, "We're gonna go get some of the best wings I've ever had." I'm like, "All right," and he pulls into Hooters. I'm like, "Are you serious?" And so we went in there, and I was like, "These are disgusting."
Yeah,
they're not.
And plus, it was just I just feel awkward in those places.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're like a 45-year-old man and there's an 18-year-old girl walking around in like a little whatever it is, it's, you know, no, it's ridiculous.
You feel dirty and old.
I will say, though, let me give a shout out to Hooters for a moment here, if I can. Camera three. So,
do you need music?
Yeah, can you play some music? So Hooters saved me during a dark period of my life. I was on my way to a job interview in West Virginia. Okay, I was in West Virginia, in Bluefield, West Virginia, where I lived, and I was driving to Charleston, West Virginia at like 3 or 4 in the morning because I had to get a flight at 6 a.m. out of Charleston, the only place you can really fly, to fly to Pennsylvania for this job interview for a new television station that I was going to go apply anchor for. And almost by the airport, it was snowing, and I got in a terrible accident where I hit like a patch of ice or something, did a 360 spin around and head on with a Mack truck, right? And the Mack truck smashed me. I smashed against the guardrail, airbags, the whole thing. Somehow I was fine. And I lived. The police drove me down the hill because I didn't have a place to go. It took me to a hotel that was like nearby, and I like slept. And I didn't have a car because I was 3 hours away from home. And it was right around... Yeah, play the little violin. And it was right around, it was NFL playoff time. And it was like a Saturday, it was like NFL championship weekend or something. I was like, I need to go get some food. And I was starving, and I was, my whole neck because of this accident was awful. And is this music from like Schindler's List or something?
No, it's from like, SpongeBob.
Okay. So then I walk down the street, freezing, and I see like a beacon of hope in the distance, a Hooters. And I go there and I sat at one of the high top tables, and they had all of the NFL games like on the big screen so I could watch in the snow the NFL championship games. And I had a big bowl of soup or a big thing of chili or something. And Hooters saved my life that night.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Hooters saved
I'm finding this a lot like the Capitol riots memoriam.
Right.
I'm having a hard time here.
Really? I thought, yeah, mine's a little more touching than, yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad you lived
Hooters,
through that.
Thank you, Hooters, for saving my life that night.
All right. That's what I got for you this.
That's all that's trending?
Well, I mean, there are more things trending, but that's what I thought you might find interesting, dear audience.
Nothing makes sense.
Exactly. No, wings at Taco Bell, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
But you know, I'm going to have to go try them because they might be the best wings ever.
You know, I'm going to say this week my kids were in virtual school and I did a lot of stress eating. I don't usually do that, but I don't drink. And so I was like, what can I do to, you know, put this energy? And all I could think about was nachos. So I'm with you.
It was 10 o'clock at night. She texted me. I was in another part of the house. I was in the West Wing, and she texted me and she said, I don't know. I feel like just stress eating right now. Why? And I'm like, it's because you got 3 hours of sleep last night with our sick daughter.
Full chocolate bars and everything. I just couldn't, you know.
Just go to sleep. You don't need to stress eat right now.
My brother-in-law is Mexican, though. And my sister, she said to him once, they were talking about their favorite Mexican food in the Bay Area. And she's like, well, my favorite fast food is Taco Bell. And he's like, what do you mean? That's not Mexican food. Because he's Mexican. She goes, yeah, it is. It's supposed to be fast Mexican food. And he was like, what? He didn't even know that Taco Bell was a derivation of Mexican food.
He's like, clearly that has nothing to do with Mexico. It's a crappy fast food place.
His mind was blown that isn't like inspired by Mexican food at all.
Wow. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend, everyone. And we will see you back here on 9 a.m. Eastern time on Monday morning. If you're new here, please subscribe to the channel so you can turn on the little bell notification. We do this show every day, 9 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. We hope you will join us on Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye then.
Peace out.